Door Number 8 by Francis Rosenfeld. The Beginning. Taylor? Taylor Bradford? A voice call from behind the counter, with non-dissimulated boredom. I've got the reference materials you requested. Where do you want them? Taylor pointed to the table in the middle of the reading room, and one of the assistant librarians who were working in that section dropped the thick stack of books on it, went back behind his counter, and adjusted his earbuds to disappear into his own musical world. Taylor was at a loss as to where to go from here. How do you search for something as unthinkable as a door that doesn't exist, especially when you can't ask anybody about it? Logic kicked in, impeccably, and suggested that if there was any information to be found about such a thing, even folk tales or urban legends, the library would be a good place to start. She realized that was like trying to empty the ocean with an eyedropper, but since her sports training ended before the sun was even up, her schoolwork wasn't in any way overwhelming, her next-door neighbor was too young to understand, and she had had all the beer she could take in this lifetime, she found herself again with time on her hands. She took a wild guess that if there was something to be found, the metaphysics and religion section would be a good place to start, so she headed in that direction. Looking for redemption, Taylor? A somewhat familiar voice resonated behind her. It was Jessica. Why don't you start by making amends to the people you've wronged? Oh, boy, Taylor thought. Maybe I'm being punished, that's what this is. I crossed the line and got sent to hell, didn't I? I'm in hell? She smiled and turned around. Hi, Jessica. How have you been? Are you that much of an ass? How have I been, you insensitive jerk? Jessica exploded. Christine was right about you, but I didn't have the sense to listen to her. Christine, again. Must be a female solidarity thing, at least I hope so. Did I do something to upset Christine too? Taylor thought, instinctively retreating, with a tiny, frozen smile. Are you mocking me? Really? After all we've been through? How could you do this to me? Jessica's voice amplified, and in the middle of the quiet section, no less. The few other people who were there, seeking understanding of the great and immutable laws of existence, looked at them, startled and appalled. I have to do something, otherwise they'll kick me out of here, and I really want to be able to come back. Taylor thought. What to do, what to do? Well, apologizing never killed anybody, let's go with that. The problem is I don't know what I'm apologizing for. I'm really sorry, Jessica. I really didn't mean to. She tried an open-ended approach, hoping that Jessica might fill in the blanks. Oh, that. You are apologizing again? How little do you really think of me, Taylor? Do you think I'm going to fall for this apology cop-out of yours? You just think sorry solves everything, don't you? That went well. Taylor thought. Think, Taylor, think. We're through, you hear me? This time we're through. I'm done with your crap. Jessica put a finger in her face. Oh, thank God. Taylor breathed a sigh of relief, looking forward to what she was going to do next. Are you really willing to let go of us? After everything we've been through, after all this time, all the things we've shared, are you really that cruel? Jessica looked on the verge of tears, and Taylor knew from personal experience that this event shaped up to become a 3-4 hour talk, way past the library closing time. She crushed an inappropriate word between her teeth and kissed her research time goodbye, at least for the day. She decided to try a different approach. Of course not, Jessica. Don't you know how much I care about you, sweetheart? Don't cry, it makes me sad when you cry. Come here. She invited Jessica into her arms and gave her a warm hug. I'm sorry I upset you, sometimes I'm such a jerk. Well, Jessica struggled with her mixed emotions. I don't know, Taylor, this time you really crossed the line. I'm really sorry, okay? Taylor said, quite sincerely, in fact, because she wasn't entirely sure Jessica wasn't in the right in this argument. So, then, that means you take me shopping next weekend? Calista and Maria are coming too, and they so want to meet you. You can't imagine how humiliating it is to talk about an invisible boyfriend. Didn't see that one coming, did you, Taylor? She asked herself. On one hand, shopping seemed like a tolerable activity and a fair trade for being relieved in the present time to do what she had come here to do. On the other hand, she remembered that she would now have to shop for male attire. She had no idea what was in fashion or whether she should even care about that, and her enthusiasm deflated. No matter, Jessica seemed to have regained her good mood, and things were looking up. So, do you want to come with me to the bookstore? I was just heading there. Jessica shifted nimbly. I'm sorry, baby, I can't right now. Taylor excused herself. She was going to follow up with a reasonable explanation, but didn't get a chance to continue. Are you actually calling me baby? What, you forgot my name now? Jessica flew off the handle again, on the verge of tears. I didn't mean Taylor started to despair, like a person wandering the desert for days who cries for joy at the sight of an oasis, only to discover that his eyes played a cruel trick on him. Do you think I'm blind, Taylor? The way you carry on with that little thing next door? Jessica raised her voice again and everybody started staring at them. Jessica, please, I hardly know her. Taylor tried to defend herself. Oh, yeah? Why is she here, then? Huh? Did you change your major too, Taylor? Or this is where you're looking for your biology reference materials now? Taylor looked around and noticed that, indeed, Cotty was sitting at the large table in the middle of the reading room, close enough to them to have witnessed the drama in its entirety. She briefly raised her eyes from her book to throw an indifferent glance in their direction, and then went back to her reading, unperturbed. That settles it. I am in hell. I died and went to hell, it is clear to me now. We're through, you hear me? You don't deserve me. Jessica turned on her heels and really rushed out of the room this time, leaving Taylor standing in the middle of the floor, her cheeks flushed with embarrassment. The real problem is, Taylor thought, that I don't even know if she's right. Maybe she's right, I seem to get corroborating information on this issue. The guy didn't strike me as a philanderer, but I never actually interacted with him outside of class, so, what do I know? She paused for a second to contemplate the enormity of her choice. Even if wishing to be another human being weren't revolting in principle, which she now admitted it was, wouldn't a reasonable person at least do some research ahead of the transformation, to be advised what to expect? She wondered what other surprises the future held, feeling really awkward about the public drama, and discombobulated enough to browse randomly through the shelves, not able to remember what she was looking for. Doors, she remembered, you're looking for doors. Why is she here, anyway? Taylor couldn't help wonder, looking back at the table in the middle of the reading room, as inconspicuously as she was able. The girl was gone. Is there anything I can help you with? A soft voice asked from behind her, in a heavy French accent. The universe seemed to have no holds barred that day. Help? Why would she think she can help me? She just got here. Taylor thought, still irritated that she had been the subject of public humiliation, and the public had actually drawn closer to observe. Cotty explained herself. I work here. I'm assistant librarian for this section. She smiled politely. Great. There goes my research. Between Iraq and Jessica, it didn't seem fair to take out her frustration on Cotty, who didn't have anything to do with her own life choices, however misguided they might have been. No, thank you. I'm just browsing. Well, if there is anything in particular that you can find, don't hesitate to ask me. Of course, Taylor smiled back, eager to go back to assessing which of the large number of books on the shelf in front of her was most likely to provide useful clues. It turns out people don't write books about doors that don't exist. They don't make up fairy tales about them, they don't create myths around them, they don't tell folk stories about them. Book after book opened wonderful avenues to knowledge, but turned out no actionable information for Taylor, as far as her unbelievable adventure was concerned. Cotty was often there, when her shift happened to overlap with Taylor's research time, and she kept bringing her the stacks of books she had checked out from the reference section, or directing her to the proper library area for one subject or another. For the most part, she sat at the end of one of the tables, reading. Taylor almost envied her detached poise. The young girl seemed to float on top of life instead of being in it, not worried about petty details, thinking of flowers, maybe, or missing the landscapes of her homeland, not combing shelf after shelf for the ghosts of reality. The strange coincidences of life, Taylor thought. What were the odds of somebody's path crossing yours so often, especially someone who had come such a long way to be in the same place as you? Before her unlikely experiences, Taylor would have chalked it up to coincidence and had never have given it another thought, but lately she had learned to pay attention to the more subtle nuances of life. She decided to try a different approach for breaking the ice and asked Cotty to help her in her quest for information about things that didn't exist, since the latter had so kindly offered. Thought he was shy but surprisingly knowledgeable in matters of metaphysics and religion, subjects which seemed to be of great interest to her. I should have known. Taylor reevaluated her previous attitude. Why else would a computer science major spend time at a lecture about the many transformations of the soul? Come sit with me, Taylor. Stay and talk, Cotty said, with a friendly smile, pointing to a couple of chairs in one of the recesses between bookshelves. Taylor was a bit reluctant to comply, but followed her, surprised that Cotty had something to say to her. After they sat down, the young girl looked at Taylor silently for a few moments, as if trying to judge if the guy had what it took to understand her. Well, her smile broadened after she finished her evaluation. What are you really looking for, Taylor? Not going to happen, oh, pretty little one, Taylor thought. I have no desire to spend quality time explaining to you that I am, in fact, a girl. She tried her very best to find a rationale for discussing the probability of time portals, but couldn't find one. In fact, she couldn't picture discussing any of the door experiences with anyone, while still expecting to maintain the illusion of sanity. Would you like a tinfoil hat with that? Cotty was still staring, curious, waiting for her to talk. Great, Taylor thought. This is just great. Gotta love assistance. Why are people always so intent on helping you with things you would rather keep to yourself? Well, Cotty asked at the end of a long silence. I'm not exactly sure. Taylor embroidered around the subject. I have a vague concept that I'm following, but I'm not sure how to put it into words yet. A concept relating to what? Cotty asked, determined to be helpful. Reality. Taylor tested the waters. Cotty looked around. Could you be a little more specific? That would be pretty much every book here. Taylor was about to lay another goose egg when she noticed, out of the corner of her eye, that Matt was staring at them. She excused herself, promised a return with a good answer, and went to talk to her friend. Dude, you're in so much trouble. Is Jessica out of town, or something? She could walk in here at any moment. Are you crazy? Matt started the verbal artillery, looking around for the imminent danger. You have no idea, Taylor thought, and then said out loud. Got it, Jessica, listen. Can you do me a big favor, and please don't get all ruffled up about this one? Can Christine, you and I get together sometime soon? I would like to get her advice on why Jessica is so upset with me. It would help a lot if I could talk to a girl about it, you know, get the view from the other side. Matt looked very doubtful about Taylor's real intentions, but reluctantly agreed to talk to Christine about it, and get together if his girlfriend was willing to do so. Apparently Christine's impression of Taylor wasn't exactly stellar. What did I do to your girlfriend to make her all so upset with me? I simply don't understand, Taylor blurted, exasperated. Matt didn't answer, but threw a poisonous stare in her direction. Oh, Taylor thought. I hope I won't need to go into hiding to avoid all of my former flirts. Atta girl, Taylor. She realized that it was going to be a very awkward get-together, but she needed to find out where she stood with Jessica and what keywords would trigger the latter to start another public scene. I hope we are not engaged, Taylor thought. Who was to know, really? The next time Jessica asked her to go out, it could be to pick china patterns or sample wedding cakes. She had absolutely no idea how serious their relationship was, and the mere thought of getting hitched to a Jessica made her nauseous. She really had to find a way out of that nightmare scenario. Stringing a fake girlfriend along was not only wrong, but, given the latter's unstable behavior and distasteful outbursts, bordered on dangerous. She did meet Matt and Christine at the cafeteria, a nostalgic reminder of more genial times, but Christine was very reluctant to offer Taylor any information that would help shed light on her relationship with Jessica. Taylor remembered her alternate life behind door number 3, and wondered if her role in the current life, as far as her girlfriend was concerned, was the same one Matt seemed to have played in the other one, which was that of a human poodle. Taylor evaluated the option to reveal that she wasn't, in fact, Jessica's alleged boyfriend, and furthermore, she wasn't even male, but dismissed the solution as poorly thought out. Getting involuntarily committed to a mental institution just to avoid her stalker seemed like too high of a price to pay for freedom. How in the world did I get myself tangled in this? Taylor thought, irritated. There was something about this whole Jessica story that didn't jibe with what she'd experienced so far. It seemed too unlikely to have happened. And just think how much this is going to upset your father. He was so relieved when you and Jessica finally decided to go out together. Christine chided at the conclusion of her thoughts. Oh, hell no. All the blood went to Taylor's cheeks. She was rabid. Don't tell me that I got assigned to a Jessica as part of a business arrangement. Being male gets less and less appealing by the second. No wonder my former next-door neighbor didn't seem crushed over the loss of his identity. This body trade-off almost feels like a get-out-of-jail card. Forget the doors, the first priority is to get rid of the Jessicas. Christine's last comment did, however, shed light over her stalker's sense of entitlement and people's glacial attitudes towards her. Things were clear to Taylor now, even though they felt deeply offensive, and she had a good sense of how to move forward. Heart infinitely lighter, she headed back to the library to finish her conversation with Cotty. The thought that if one of her acquaintances saw her talk to the girl, they would automatically assume she was trying to pencil the latter into her busy schedule as a potential flirt was really unpalatable, but under the circumstances she didn't have a lot of room to maneuver around that. "You came back?" Cotty smiled, genuinely pleased. "Did you get any clarity on that which you wanted to learn?" Taylor frowned, embarrassed, wondering how on earth did she find out already? "I bet the whole campus knows by now, I must be the only person who was in the dark about it. I won't be able to show my face in public again." "About your concept of reality," Cotty clarified, half singing her words. "Your developing idea?" "Not yet, still a bit foggy about that," Taylor replied, a little taken aback. "I'm struggling with my thinking, but, just to broaden my horizons, I thought I would explore a few fairy tale themes, you know?"
"That's interesting.
What themes, exactly?" Cotty's eyes gleam with amusement. "Ah," Taylor gulped hard, "there seems to be a recurring motif about heroes going to another world in search of something, a challenge, a treasure, a cure, knowledge, that sort of thing."
The other world?"
She laughed out loud. "I'm sure I can come up with some research material about that. Are you looking for your fairy godmother?" she teased, with a twinkle in her eyes. "Serves me right for being an idiot. Even babyface here is laughing at me," Taylor thought bitterly. "Fairy tales indeed."
"I think your phone is ringing,"
Cotty pointed out. Taylor checked it and found several unanswered texts from her mother, all about what color she was going to paint the room for when her son came home during the winter break. "You should answer that," Cotty smiled encouragingly and left to look for the books Taylor had inquired about. The latter got suddenly excited at the thought of having a real holiday, even though she tried to stifle her excitement under a morose comment. "Really, Taylor, don't you think you're a bit old for chestnuts roasting on an open fire?" She then remembered the scene would likely include a reckoning with her father, who expected her to show up with Jessica. Her mood got gloomy, only to brighten up a second later at the thought that she was grateful her father was alive. Her emotions ceased odd like that for a little while, from "I'm so happy I have a sister" to "why does my mother always take her side while I catch all the heat," from getting annoyed that her mother needed to consult her about the smallest details to feeling really happy that she had a family who cared about her, even if they overdid it a bit at times. She shrugged and looked towards the counter to see if Cotty had found any of the books she was talking about, but the girl was nowhere in sight. The clock had struck 4, and Cotty's shift was over.
"Great," Taylor thought. "This just never ends, does it? Nobody cares?"
She left the library in a sour mood, trying to be as inconspicuous as possible, just in case she accidentally crossed paths with Jessica. She needed to put together an action plan first, on how to handle her girlfriend's wrath. The following week passed quickly, in a blur of midterms, assignments, and a million other tasks whose urgent status overshadowed Taylor's interest for legends, myths, and mysteries. She spent a lot of time at the library during that week, but nowhere near the metaphysics section. She was feeling a little guilty about that, and she wondered whether Cotty had kept her word, and, as she had promised, there was a tall stack of books behind the assistant librarian's counter, just waiting for Taylor to pick them up. She was slowly getting used to being a man, a task she didn't, in her wildest dreams, imagine she would have to undertake. It felt a little strange that none of old Taylor's friends and acquaintances noticed the obvious differences in personality and demeanor, and that after her initial shock of acknowledging the change, shock all of them chalked up to the use of a mind-altering substance yet to be revealed, Taylor's life had picked up right where it had left off. The strangest part of this experience was that in order to maintain order and normality in her life, if one could call the fact that Taylor Bradford had become a different person, male, captain of the football team and heir to Bradford Industries, normal, she had to let go of reality itself.
Society doesn't take kindly to people who experience things outside of the norm. It unconsciously perceives them as a threat to the common welfare and natural unfolding of events, and for this reason, it pushes the perpetrators further and further towards the edge of what's acceptable until they eventually fall off. Taylor didn't want to fall off. So, cost-benefit analysis over, she did her best to enjoy her new masculine role, a position which at least offered the benefit of perspective, if nothing else. Lost one good girlfriend, bad. Gained one good male friend, good. Got stalked by intolerable girlfriend, bad. Grew up with both mom and dad, good. Had sibling, very good. Maybe the other Taylor was right, she thought. I should count my blessings, this life is really not that bad, all things considered. She looked in the mirror at the familiar face that wasn't hers, and noticed her beard badly needed trimming. What in God's name am I thinking? She exploded. I have a beard? I'll never get used to that. I'm not so far gone that I can just switch to another body and be okay with it. Be that as it may, this was her state of fact, and the only person who could shed light onto the issue was now staring at her from the mirror, a foot taller than usual, and donning facial hair. I got to get out of here, before I completely lose my mind. Taylor made the abrupt decision to go back to the library, find Cotty, and try to forget for a couple of hours that her life had evolved into a surrealist play. On her way there, she heard the clock strike 4, and got instantly irritated at the thought that Cotty's shift had just ended. No doubt the girl was just about to leave, and the short-term coping mechanism that Taylor had devised for herself was not going to pan out. She changed her mind and turned towards the cafeteria instead, haunted by the ghost of Jessica's wrath, and somewhat satisfied to notice her girlfriend wasn't there. Taylor really didn't care about Jessica's antics anymore. Nevertheless, she placed the fact that she didn't have to take a stand for her freedom and self-respect, right then and there, in the plus column. Matt approached her the moment she entered the room. Did you hear? He told his friend, excited. Jessica is getting married. She's taking a couple of years off from college, she might decide to come back later, if she feels like it. How are you dealing with it, man? Matt patted Taylor on the shoulder, not knowing whether to offer congratulations or sympathy. I'm sure I'll live. Taylor smiled, thinking that this new life presented her with strange circumstances, some of which turned out to be to her advantage. How did she get so lucky? Things like these didn't just happen by accident, she thought. She then remembered that she had become male by accident, and re-evaluated the possibility that the sequence of causes and effects might be completely random after all. Have you seen Cotty? She asked Matt. His friend stared at her with a disapproving look on his face, somewhat disconcerted by the lighthearted way in which his friend was dealing with his relationship drama, but then remembered that Taylor was the aggrieved party, so he gave her the benefit of the doubt. She's right over there. He pointed to a table by the window, where a poised Cotty was sitting with a book in her lap and a faraway stare, lost in a world of her own. God works in mysterious ways. Taylor thought, and in her deep gratitude for the permanent removal of Jessica from her life, she almost forgot that she was now the wrong gender. She shrugged off the thought, well, when in Rome, as she approached Cotty's table, smiling. Ah, Taylor. The girl gestured to the empty chair next to hers. Come sit with me, stay and talk. She waited for Taylor to make herself comfortable in the chair, all the while watching her patiently with a beaming smile. So she restarted the conversation from before. Have you given some more thought to the worlds beyond our sight? The other world? Making any progress with your research? No. Taylor looked for an excuse. I've been so busy with my midterms and projects, I didn't have time to work on that at all. What a pity. Cotty stared at him, with the same beaming smile. These things are very important, you know? Eternal, she argued. Life will find a way to keep you busy, but you have to make time for these other things, always. Tests, they will be there for you, and then you pass them and poof, they're gone, as if they'd never been. Today, tomorrow, every day. Better set your sights on things that last. Taylor felt a little annoyed being lectured by a freshman on the meaning and management of her own life, but not enough to spoil what promised to become a lovely afternoon. What was it about her male persona that seemed to make it irresistible for girls to boss her around? I hope I'm not bothering you. Cotty answered her mental commentary without even realizing it, and then looked Taylor straight in the eyes, suddenly very serious. I've been told I tend to get a little preachy at times. Not at all. Taylor reassured her. In fact, I was on my way to the library to see if you had found any of the books we were talking about last week. I've been looking forward to browsing through them. Some. Cotty nodded. Not all things are learned from books, you know, she mentioned, with a glimmer in her eye. Some things you just have to learn from your own experience. Is she flirting with me? Taylor asked herself, feeling like a complete idiot. The gender shift had drowned the subtle cues of dating behavior, and between the cultural differences and the unfamiliar male perspective, she couldn't tell whether Cotty was trying to give her an opening or was just being friendly. Some things we can even remember, if we know how to seek them out. Often we don't think we do, but we certainly can. The girl continued, unperturbed by Taylor's obvious awkwardness. Cotty looked like she wanted to burst out laughing, but did a great job of maintaining her composure. She's making fun of me, Taylor thought. Getting rejected twice in half an hour must be a new record. I'm thinking congratulations are in order. But, like I promised, I selected a few books for your studies, she said. I've been waiting for you to pick them up, but since you didn't show, I brought some to the dorm. I can give them to you when we return there, if you'd like. Or maybe she isn't, Taylor thought. You should be taking your instruction more seriously, you know, Cotty admonished, suddenly stern. Not everybody is blessed with opportunities like yours. Don't take them for granted. Some people don't even make it past the front door in this school, and you need people to chase you around campus with materials for your research. I apologize, Taylor blabbed, surprised by the sudden professorial tone, which made her feel like she needed to spend her lunch recess writing. I will do my homework 100 times on the blackboard. I didn't mean to inconvenience you in any way. That's okay. Cotty smiled again. The books are already in my room. I'll give them to you now. Come? She prompted. Taylor walked beside her trying to think of things to say all the way back to the dorm, but couldn't come up with anything. Wait here, Cotty said. She opened the door to her room and slammed it shut behind her, before her companion had a chance to get a glimpse of what was inside. Taylor stood in front of the closed door with nothing to do but to stare at it, and her previous memories suddenly took hold of her mind. She could almost see the old sign, the one that couldn't make up its mind whether to be a number 8 or a lemniscate, superimposed over the banal number 9 that adorned the door now. Forget it, Taylor. She told herself. If you hold any hope for even the semblance of a normal life, this is and has always been room number 9. What on earth is she doing in there? It sounds like she's carving the books out of the walls with a pickaxe. The noise coming from room number 9 was drowning the sounds of all the surrounding activities. What is it with this room that makes it a never-ending remodeling project? Taylor continued musing. There were sounds of power tools and metal studs dropping to the floor, and rivets being blasted through metal sheets. After a long wait, Cotty finally came out, carrying a stack of books so tall that her whole person was hidden behind them. She handed them to Taylor, who was surprised to notice that, despite the girl's graceful ease in handling the tomes, they were very heavy. These should get you started, Cotty said. Read them carefully, you will need the additional research this quarter, she declared, frowning at the thought that, maybe, she had been too severe. Care for a sweet? She offered Taylor a peace offering. Sugar plums from a box of confections that seemed to have materialized in her hand from thin air. Taylor's hands were full, so she politely declined. I thought you said you liked them. Cotty finally burst out laughing. She scrunched her face, as if to adjust a pair of glasses on the bridge of her nose, and said, See you in room 9.